All right, 8:13 here on this Tuesday morning. We've got 69 degrees with some cloud cover as we speak. And in studio with me, of course, is Julie Hall. She is, of course, as is your city councilor at large, or one of the many city councilors serving our city. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. First off, very busy young lady you are these days.
Yes, yeah, I like
very,
to
very busy. As we get into the season, I can't believe the primary is in a few more weeks coming up down the line. And a lot of good people running again in the city, not just for council, but at large, for the school committee and other uncontested people as well. You've been very busy, as I said, putting signs together. You got a couple of different signs out there. First off, before we start things off, a little background on Jules Hall.
Sure. Well, thank you for this. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's really important when people come to me and they say, oh, you know, we would love to support you. I always try to have a discussion mm-hmm. with them because I want them to know who I am.
Right.
I think it's really important for people to know your qualifications. And I strongly urge people that when they do go out and vote for a candidate, that they do look at their background and to find out what their experiences and education, because those are the kinds of people that you are looking for to build a good council.
Mm-hmm.
So my background is, I of course had 30 years of military experience, but even more than that, being a military officer, I started off at the very bottom and moved my way through the enlisted ranks mm-hmm. and then became an officer and made my way through to the top. I didn't make general.
Mm-hmm.
But I did make my way pretty far up there. And that alone, I think, is a feat. I'm not patting myself on the mm-hmm. back because I know lots of people have done that. But it does say, I think, a lot about a person in any kind of a business or any kind of professions
right.
that's able to start at the bottom and learn their job and learn their way up. Plus, you know, the rest of it is being able to lead other people. I think that's very, very mm-hmm. important. So even more important than that, I believe, is what I did while I was in the military. I was a hospital administrator.
Right.
And that meant that I ran that hospital. Everything that was involved, the fiscal part of it, you know, the money, the manpower, all of the resources, all the buildings came under me. So, you know, people talk to me a lot about the new high school,
uh-huh.
which I'm sure
right.
we'll probably talk about in a bit. And I have some very strong feelings about things based on the experiences that I've had. And these aren't just 2 and 3 year experiences. These are over the course of 20 to 30 years of what I've seen with money, with manpower, human resources, all assets, if you would. Mm-hmm. That's what was under my control. Plus, you know, I was also the leader of several hundred people
right.
at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about my background. Now, I did grow up in Walpole, and I came from a very middle-class family in Walpole. I had 7 brothers and sisters. So, you know, things weren't handed
big
to
family.
Me. Yeah, it was a big family. Mm-hmm. Things were not handed to me. I went into the military to get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a large component, huge component, about alternatives for college, the, mm-hmm. what I would consider the you know, what people go to. You know, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars to go to a 4-year college. You know, I did not do that. I went right here in Massasoit Community College.
Right.
I got my degree from a community college. It was an excellent program.
Mm-hmm.
I rave about it. I am a very strong advocate of Bristol Community College here. I'm an advocate of community colleges. You don't have to spend a lot of money mm-hmm. to get a good degree and to be a valuable contributor to society. And that's sort of the message that I want to give people.
Right, you know, and I echo your words as well. I mean, like I said, I got a great education as a community college as well. I went for 4 years and got my my degree as well. And, you know, some people don't realize, you know, you can go, you don't have to spend a heck of a lot of money. You know, you've got some great colleges right in our backyard.
Absolutely.
Here in Attleboro. You know, and this is the time, you know, that, I mean, they're always looking for new people, and they offer a great amount of wealth and knowledge out there as well. And, you know, if you don't have the money, or even if you have the money, it's kind of
right.
nice. You can kind of figure out what you want to do. You don't have to figure out like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. You can kind of, you know, that's why you got, you know, these places. And I know in Rhode Island, they recently had the kind of like that free tuition with some of the community
right.
colleges as well. You know, one thing that many things that impressed me, since being a friend of yours for many years, when you always talk about your military career, you are doing that. I mean, a lot of women, you know, have been going through the military and high ranks as you. And I think that that serves well for you as well. You know, you're a very down-to-earth person. You can come to you with any, you know, anything that you people want to talk to you about. If you don't have the answers, you'll find them, you know. And but being a woman in the military, you know, I think that serves a great thing as well, because yeah, there are a lot of females in the military, but you added to that rank as well. You added it, and being a colonel, you were in the service for 30 years. Yes. And I think when you come back in uniform for many of the Attleboro events, the Memorial Day festivities, and you come back being in uniform, and I think that serves well. I think, and I applaud you wholeheartedly.
Thank you.
That because and I think it serves well for the you know, to see you know, people know you now as the counselor. This is now this, how many years now are you with the council now?
Look, I'm just finishing up my first term. Mm-hmm. But I was with the planning board prior.
Right.
To this, so it's not my sort of my first venue with the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this will, so I'll be going into my second term. So
second,
you know,
term.
I'm fairly new.
Yeah.
But I feel that I do a lot of research, and I feel that I've come leaps and bounds. I think it's very, very important that you do spend time.
Mm-hmm.
to know the environment that you're going to work
of
in.
Course.
And I spend an awful lot of time getting to know this city, as a lot of people that I've been working with. I do a lot with the Historical Society and with the Industrial Museum next.
Mm-hmm.
Door. There's a world of knowledge about Attleboro all around here. And I don't want to say I'm the expert, but from somebody that's coming from an outside place, if
mm-hmm.
you would, I think I do think I tend to appreciate it a little bit more, because when you grow up someplace, you know, it's like every day, okay, that's great, you know, things are changing, okay. But for me, I have not lived in a city or a town other
mm-hmm.
than Walpole.
Right.
I've traveled around, and you get very close to people in a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to leave those people.
Right, yeah.
You can do what you can for the time that you're there, and I did try to do that every place that I went. But my biggest goal was the day I got out,
yeah.
and when I got out, that once I got to a place to settle in, that I would be able to stay and contribute. And that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And when you were in the military, what other places did you live? Where were you?
Most of the time I was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you were?
Yes. Now, when my first assignment, I asked for the East Coast, and that
mm-hmm.
usually doesn't happen, that you ask for a place, you usually get sent to the...
Yeah, right.
So I continued to do that, and sure enough, it did catch up with me, because I then got stationed in Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
I got stationed in New Mexico, I got stationed in Korea, California,
mm-hmm.
so every place but the East Coast.
Right.
Louisiana for a couple of years, Scott Air Force Base, Illinois. So I've been all around the country.
Yeah, you have been.
Yeah.
So. And but now you call this area home. Now
this is, and you know what? Every place that I've seen, no matter where I've been, this is where you are
mm-hmm.
is the best place to be. That's
yeah.
the best thing I can tell you, because you make it what it is. You make your life the way you'd like it to be, and I couldn't have picked a better place start doing that.
That's for sure. All right, Councilor Julie Hall is here in studio. We'll get into more other information. If you'd like to give her a call here at the studio, we'll gladly hear from you at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. 822, I believe we do have, I don't think this is a call for you for right now, but I believe we do have the latest conditions once again with Gina on the roadways. Gina?
All right, Dom. Well, earlier accident is clear here, 95 northbound by, we had one by 123. It's gone. We're looking better. So from the state line up past 123, it's not bad. Tail end of 295 is a little bit heavy transitioning to 95. You don't really hit the heavy stuff until 495 now. That continues to about Walpole Street, then it opens up a bit back on the brakes at Neponset Street. 24 northbound still backed up through Avon and Randolph. The expressway still full and overflowing. 495 thinning out slowly. Between Milford and Hopkinton. Getting into Providence, still backed up into Pawtucket, 146 backed up into North Providence, and the 610 connector pretty full. 95 North is still heavy from our earlier accidents by the zoo, and 195 West is slow as well. Next report from EMB tomorrow morning. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
Okay, Gina, thanks so much. With me in studio, of course, is Julie Hall from the Attleboro City Council. Tonight, of course, you get back to brass tacks tonight, yeah. I guess, as you did have a few of the meetings this past summer. Right. Sometimes you did meet on a Thursday night every once in a while to kind of wrap things up here. Other things that are on your agenda, I know a lot of things going on as well. But you're here, of course, as I said, a lot of things going on. Well, first of all, let me start going back up again. Tonight, what is some of the topics that we that the councilors are going to be looking at as we start another brand new season, basically?
Sure. I don't think that there's anything earth-shattering that's on right now. It's going to take a little bit of, I think, catch-up time.
Yeah.
Because we have been off for a little while. I know one of the things that I'm working on is the, you know, permitting, special permitting for a medical marijuana dispensary.
Right.
And, you know, I have to tell you, I've heard from a few people in particular, nobody really saying that they didn't want it, but very concerned about the security and so forth. And, you know, I've worked very closely with Chief Hegney, who I will say, on the record, is not an advocate.
Right.
And, you know, he has said that. However, given the fact he supports the vote of the people, that's just, you know, that's what he does. We're all mm-hmm. public servants to that.
Sure.
And in that case, he and I work very, very closely to ensure that we go over the security of what's being provided and so forth. So I believe tonight I have scheduled for a group to come in, and they're going to talk about the tracking system, which mm-hmm. is just detailed from, you know, the moment any product comes in to, you know, what happens to it if it, you know, gets destroyed, how it has to get destroyed. And, you know, people are going to be amazed at the level mm-hmm. of tracking that has to go on with every one of these things. And that should in itself hope that, you know, people understand this is not just, you know, some crazy 60s things that come in.
Right.
This is a legitimate medical business, and it, I think, has more restrictions on it than most of the medical businesses. I don't see, you know, this kind of tracking. Like if you went into CVS, if you would, mm-hmm. and you went to the pharmacy there, the tracking that they have to have for Class 3 drugs
right.
is incredible. Well, this is being treated the same way. So, you know, I want people to be educated. That's mm-hmm. one of the things I'm always a big advocate about. People need to be educated on both sides of an issue to make, you know, the value judgment. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, you have it in your heart sometimes a certain way that you believe certain things. I've changed my mind before. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why it's very, very important to hear both sides of an issue before you make your decision on things.
And the meeting's scheduled at 7 o'clock at City Hall tonight?
Yeah, I think that it's a committee meeting, right. So if I'm not mistaken, I might be 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
I think
okay,
we might be having two. Again, we've been doubling up to try to catch up on certain things.
Right.
What I mean by doubling up is oftentimes we'll have a committee meeting early where we mm-hmm. can vote things out in the committee, and then nothing can go to vote at the council until it gets voted out of committee first. So we'll vote it out of committee early, mm-hmm. and then the next session will be the council vote. So you can actually vote an issue out in one night if you really needed to
right,
do that.
Exactly. And tell our listeners what are some of the committees that you actually work with.
I'm on I'm the chair of the Zoning and Land Use Committee. Mm-hmm. So that's one. I'm also on Public Safety, and I'm on Public Works with Kate Jackson, and she's the chair of Public Works, and I'm the chair, of course, of Zoning and Land Use, and Peter Blair, is the chair of Public Safety.
Public Safety.
So those are the three that I work with. But I have to tell you, I get a lot of calls because I am at large, I get a lot of calls from constituents from all over the city, mm-hmm. and I have to interact with many of the different councilors to answer some of their questions. We get a lot of property questions,
right.
which is
yeah.
good, because I am on the zoning and land use and gives me a little of experience. But every issue, and I thank people, and I'm going to encourage people to please call, because I have learned so much by answering mm-hmm. those questions for people. I don't know when people call in and say, hey, you know, how do you figure out where the boundary lines are from, you know, here to here? And, you know, how come, you know, after years and years, I've had this parking lot, and yet my neighbor now tells mm-hmm. me it belongs to somebody else? And, you know, those are some very interesting questions. Property, zoning, land use, all great questions, and I do learn a lot from that. You know, I've had people call me about sidewalks and
yeah.
streetlights and even the streetlights. You know, you have to call NGRID.
Yeah,
I've had to call, you know, NGRID a couple of times. So, you know, to me to call up and, you know, find out, you know, how to do that, who do I'm supposed to talk to. And I work very closely with the folks in the city who are haven't found a person in the city that I can say hasn't been exceptional and helpful. They bend over backwards to help us out. And I think that's important. And that's the way things should be. We yeah. should be working as a team because it benefits the folks, you know, the residents here. That's the way things have to go.
One thing that when you started running for at large, you didn't, you know, you living in Ward 3, you have Frank there who's now not going to be taking his seat again now. But you get a lot of constituents from your neighborhood. But now being, you know, you're living in the ward, and but you get all the questions not from your neighbors in the ward as well, but you handle, as you said, you handle them citywide as well. And I think that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. You know, okay, you're a ward if you're a ward counselor, yeah, you can deal with the city, but you've got a lot of stuff. But when you go through the whole city, that's a heck of a lot. And being as a counselor, I know, you know, your background, you've done a tremendous job as a counselor for the first time, you know, for
Thank
the last
you.
Couple of years. Very, very well done. And I will say, folks, Julie does her homework. She does her homework. She knows exactly what she needs to do. But not only that, you know, you're a very busy young lady as well, because you're also in the Rotary. Mm-hmm. You're the board of the Literacy Center. I mean, as you said, the Industrial Museum, you see things going on as well. There's just so many things that you do. Now, as far as city council, what are you looking at? You know, primaries coming up very shortly and then the election. What are some of the questions some of the residents are coming to you and asking you?
Yeah, I know that people are very concerned about the high school, so I'll mm-hmm. just take that on right
yeah.
there. And this is a great time for me to give an explanation of where I'm coming from, and people may not agree with me. I think what you'll find with me is I have some very pragmatic ways of looking at things, but I also then have some concerns about how we actually execute, mm-hmm. so which are things I learned, you know, doing my job as hospital administrator. So let me tell you what I've learned. Every hospital that I've been at in the military, some of these hospitals were very, very old hospitals, as you know, which I found quite often had asbestos when you start yeah. digging into the backs of them and start pulling tiles off and things. So you don't want to do those kinds of things. And then secondly, I've had renovations done,
uh-huh.
and I am not a fan of renovation. You know, when you sit in your office and you got a million things going on, and then somebody comes to you and tells you that the, you know, A wing and B wing has a huge leak in it because the collar, which is the, you know, sort of rubber or whatever other material they use around that actually connects those two buildings
uh-huh.
together,
sure.
is leaking. And almost every hospital I've been to, it leaked. So that told me something. You know, maybe there's new ways of doing things. That could be true, but this is my experience. Then the other part is, and I tell people this, I would sit in my office in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody starts coming in to do their work. I'd get a phone call in one end of the building, it's freezing. The other end of the building, they're dying because it's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
The systems that you have when you try to build on, an original system was made for a specific square feet. You cannot expect that system to then be extended beyond the building that it was built for. And that's oftentimes what happens. Two separate systems are not built. And again, they could do things differently now, different construction methods. I agree that could be happening, but it's not what I've seen in my experience. And so I am not a fan mm-hmm. of renovation. I'm, you know, unless it's got a good solid building already.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of adding on. Now, that being said, yes, I am a fan of a new building being built. I think in this case, that's probably the best thing to do from a structural standpoint. Now, where do we get the money to do this? Mm-hmm. It is a very expensive price tag. I understand that. I'm very concerned about that. I think there still needs to be more discussions about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to get that loan down, where it comes from, how we're going to keep it from hurting some of the people that are on a fixed income. All of those questions still need to be answered. And all of those questions I think people should be asking. I know that the administration's working on that. I know that the school board, actually the senior people in the charge of the school, Superintendent Sawyer,
mm-hmm.
Principal Rooney, I'm working very close with the mayor. I know this. I've been to several of the meetings myself in Boston. And I'm here to tell you what happens is you're not the only school that's sitting there. So if we don't get this money, there's eight other people sitting in the rows behind you that are just waiting to step up to the plate mm-hmm. and get this, you know, however much percent the state is willing to give them. And that's the reality of the situation. And I think if you're there and you see this, you know, everybody's in their suits and their ties and talking and trying to present their hospital, trying to present their school in the best light that they can and to try to answer some of the questions for the state. But again, we are not the only ones. There were eight other ones sitting in the same room. As soon as we left, after giving our 5-minute presentation, 10-minute presentation,
somebody else
stepped up to the plate right after us. So that's what you're dealing with. And so there is a timing issue. So when people tell you that listen, it's now or never, it really is. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. I've been in the room. You feel the tension when somebody asks a question. You feel the tension when you feel that maybe the state wants you to do more work. And you're kind of like, oh, my gosh, you know, we've done so much work already. How much more can we do? Mm-hmm. You can feel it when you're in that room. So please don't think that people are just, you know, sort of throwing a dart, you know, at a dartboard saying, okay, this is the answer, because that is not the way this is working.
You know, I know that's one of the main issues that people are going to think about this time, of course. You know, when you sit down with your constituents and people coming in, you know, and talking to you, I'm sure, you know, you've got from one aspect from the city to the other aspects of the city. I know recently, did you get anybody talking to you recently about the, it's been in the news for God knows how long, the pipeline that, you know, that was supposedly go to into the Seekonk, Attleboro, Rehoboth line as well.
Sure. I mean, as you know, there's been a lot of discussions and you've seen a lot of the, you know, the signs up there. You know, that was a very much of a concern.
Yeah.
One of the things, I approach every discussion the same way. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I had mentioned is I did want to hear both sides of an issue. And I kind of got a little pushback from people because sometimes people just want me to jump right on, like, how could you not tell what's right and wrong? It's not a matter of telling what's right and wrong. It's a matter of being educated. Mm-hmm. I want to be educated. If I'm educated in a subject and I pick a side, I am a much stronger advocate of that side.
Sure, you know more about
exactly.
The items.
And I look for the loopholes. I can find ways to, you know, turn things around. That's why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I look at education. I look at every, you know, resource I can possibly find, which I did. I take to the internet and off mm-hmm. I go. And, you know, I did go through and look at several other cities. I looked at what they did. You know, I looked at some of their, actually, I was one of the people that came up with some of those, you know, proclamations or resolutions that some of the other cities had. And mm-hmm. I was able to share those with other people to say, hey, listen, here's what they've looked at. And we had a lot of discussions about that. But I'm not going to come in, or not usually, I shouldn't mm-hmm. say all the time, but it's rare for me to come in without having something to contribute to the discussion. Now, whether people want to hear that or not is a whole different story, because mm-hmm. some people do come in. I will say this. I do believe some people come in with a certain way that they feel about things, and you know, there isn't going to be much to change those folks' minds, but I'm still going to give it mm-hmm. a shot.
The other thing is, I mean, that's exactly what I said earlier, that you do your homework, as well as all the other counselors as well. You've got to research all this stuff, you know, before your mics open up, before you get in front of people. You've got to make sure that you know the facts. I mean, there may be one or two items that people may not be aware of, but you also got to have, it's too bad that the counselors don't have like a Google map in front of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's something that, you know, an IT person be kind of nice to have something like that, you know, because a lot of places, you know, may have, you know, you see news desks, you have in front of you, you know, you have a computer right there. It's kind of nice, you know, if you had one or two of them to share with some of the council, but down the line. The other thing is when people come to you, one of the other items that we have seen within the last year is the opening of the Sports Village.
Oh, sure.
With the Sports Village, and there's a heck of a lot more to go down there. I think, I know I've been there a couple of times. I think it's coming along really well, and a lot more work to go down as well. I mean, this is kind of just the first stage that is being done right now.
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. Two things. I want to jump on what you just said about, you know, having the Google map.
Yeah.
I tell people, if somebody calls me, I want to come down and see. Mm-hmm. They say to me, you know, this is this. I said, can I come down and actually see this? Because if you don't go down and see what they're seeing mm-hmm. and hear what they're hearing, you are not going to understand right. what the concern is. And again, it's part of the educational process. If I don't understand what a person's feeling and how they're feeling, I mean, how am I ever going to convince them otherwise or come to a compromise? Because then we have standoffs. They agree with that. They want to do what they want to do. You got to see what they see and get into their shoes. So I'll just say that. So mm-hmm. I do go down and visit a person's home mm-hmm. or go to see the site that they're talking about so I can get that, really get the feel.
Yeah, you have to. Is. You have to.
Now the sports village, and you know, one of the things I'm a huge advocate of, and you're going to see me, and this is one of the things I put down as my one of my talking points, mm-hmm. if you would, for my campaign, is I am, yeah, a huge advocate of bringing new business. Now, everybody says that. Oh, yes, of course. Why wouldn't mm-hmm. you be an advocate of bringing a new business? That's sort of a no-brainer, I think. But I really do go out and try to meet people and encourage them and get them involved in different things. And I'll just give you some examples because I have some. And now it's come to where mm-hmm. people are saying, go see Julie Hall.
Yeah.
She has
I've
gone
heard
through
that
this.
Too. I've
okay.
Heard it.
And I like that. I like that because that's where all that research and education, you know, she's the expert on this. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm probably no expert on anything. I'm putting that out there right now. I just try to learn. So, I mean, there's times that I am wrong. I'll say it on council floor. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. When I don't know the answer to a question, I have no problem saying I don't know in front of the world. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? When somebody does explain it to me, all those other people get to hear also. So, yeah. So small businesses, big businesses, we'd love to get big business back in here. But sadly, I do not think that that's going to happen. You never know. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep trying. And we will keep trying. But for the small businesses that are coming in, we do have a few. You know, we just had the Skyrock Brewery open. Mm-hmm. I'm working with another group of their, it's called Burgundian Gourmet Coffee. It's Gourmet Coffee and Waffles. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman is a veteran. So I was very happy to hear mm-hmm. that we have some veteran small business. Nice. And of course, Skyrock is a woman-owned business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if people realized all of this. And so the city and the state can contribute to the upstart of these businesses. So it's not all money that's, you know, being risked, if you would, when you say, oh, you know, they'll never, you know, go through or whatever. You know, why are we putting our money? Well, it's some of the state's money mm-hmm. because of where they're coming from. So people need to understand that. Now, of course, with the sports village, and I know that there was a connection with the ARA there,
right.
Attleboro Redevelopment Authority. And I know Councilor DeLisio worked very hard
yes.
on this project. And hopefully you'll have him in to explain, because uh-huh. he did a lot of work there.
Yes.
And I did also get a briefing very early on as to what was going on there. They had a few bumps in the road, uh-huh. but I tell you, they stuck in it. David Bouchard.
Yep, Boucher, yeah.
Boucher. And I did get briefed early on through Rotary.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay, and, you know, I hate to jump around, but again, let me bring in all mm-hmm. those now. Why do I go to all these things? Well, first of all, I love them, and mm-hmm. I love the people that I meet. But the other advantage I get from that is I get to know networks of people. So when somebody comes to me and says they have a difficulty, there's somebody in my head that I've met that I know can help this person mm-hmm. because I've met them along my travels through the Elks, through Rotary, through the Literacy Center. It's networking. Networking is what allows you to help other people.
Kind of like what the chamber does all the time. When they have network events, you know, you get to know some of these people.
Absolutely. And I do. I try to go to all the grand openings,
yes,
too.
Do.
I do. Because I think it's really important to bring somebody into this city and to really tell them that they're welcome here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we really go and I think they must be sort of look at us like we're a little bit like, what's wrong with these people? It's a small coven here or something? No.
Yeah.
Because when we do, we go and we really express to them how happy we are that they did pick Attleboro mm-hmm. to do business, because it's very important. So the sports village, again, very, very important when you have something of this sort. This I consider to be obviously a larger business, if
right.
you would, and the potential of whoever's ears I just knocked out there, sorry. Whoever, you know, the potential that it has to be one of those, what I would consider an industrial type complex,
right.
if you would,
mm-hmm.
in terms of business. So you know, we definitely want to try to support that. Already, just a little bit that I've seen, I see cars there from all over New England, not just Attleboro.
Right.
And that's the kind of business that we want to attract here. That's an awesome business. So hopefully they'll do great. They've done great so far. I know people, you know, sat there and said, when I first got to this city, oh, it'll never work. It's not going to work. It's going to fail. Well, look at them now. So, you know, let's stand behind these
businesses.
They just
hired a bunch of new people for the restaurant, the barn, recently as well, and not doing and more items on the menu as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to take it slow. So don't be concerned, I think, if it takes time. Everything takes time to roll out. People do the same thing with the city. They want things today. They want things now. And, you know, it takes time. It takes time for the money to come in. It takes time for things to roll out. You do have to be patient on some things to see the benefits of some of the results that have produced. I can tell you specifically, I was at Andrews Air Force Base. And when I left there in 2009, we were looking at building a new, brand new facility. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we got a lot of pushback. People wanted to keep the old stuff. They didn't want to take this down. It's a huge undertaking that's going to go on, much like what will happen with the high school. And I had the really nice opportunity to go down there last summer, and I saw that hospital. And I walked through the front doors, and I said, I was part of this. Even though I had not been there when all the, you know, work was going on, I was part of the person, if you would, the team that put this together to make it happen. So it was very nice to see those things. But 5 years later.
Still coming up, that's for sure. Julie Hall in studio with us for the next 15 minutes. I know it's really been a quick show, but you know, you get a lot of interesting comments from all the counselors as well. And we're going to try to get most of them in studio within the next few weeks as well. Right now, we do have Jim, though, with another brief update on the forecast for us. Jim?
Well, Don, the warmest day of the week is today. We do have some thick cloud cover high cirrus right now, but there'll be hazy sunshine throughout the day. Warm and humid, breezy temperatures in the low and mid-80s. Yeah, September 5th, and we're talking about the low and mid-80s. Tonight, thickening clouds. We'll have some showers towards dawn, and then tomorrow, a wet day. Showers and thunderstorms, a few downpours, big puddles. Make sure your wipers are working properly. Highs in the low and mid-70s. More rain tomorrow night. Now, it won't be raining all the time, but showers around. That's why we call them showers. Thunderstorms. And then showers early on Thursday. Sun and clouds Thursday afternoon. Good news. Looks like it dries out for the Patriots game in Foxborough. And then sun and clouds. Cooler weather, about 70 on Friday. And a cool weekend, but mostly dry. 60s during the day and 40s and low 50s at night.
All right. Sounds good, Jim. We'll talk to you in the morning.
See you then.
All right. Julie Hall in studio with us for the next few moments or so. Thank God the weather's going to cooperate this weekend, Julie, because a lot of great things are happening this weekend, at which you'll be part of as well.
Yes. Yes. I think if I, let's look, let's start. Where do I begin? I was just remarking. Yeah. It's already Tuesday already.
I know. It's kind of a short week, but things start up on Friday at the Y.
They do. And we do have the rooftop. The annual rooftop celebration, the rooftop dinner party. It is a wonderful, I've gone every year that they've had it. I do work with the team also. I usually give a, you know, raffle gift. I try to do that to, because that's part of the fun is the, you know, raffle gifts that they have. They have silent auctions. They have all kinds of things. Great food.
Yeah. And there are
music.
There are heaters up there too.
There are heaters
if you need them.
But, you know, one of the best things about it, besides all the, you know, getting to meet all the people that are there, it's a great group of people that are there, and they it's a lot of work. I've been on the committee that puts, you know, gets there and gets the furniture. It's a lot of work that they do. So, you know, really, if you have an opportunity to go to the rooftop, it is this Friday. I believe it starts at, is it six or seven?
Either six or seven.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
The tickets are, you know, the tickets are $50, but I'm going to tell you, worth every dime.
Yeah, we went last year. It's well worth it.
And just the scenery. The best thing, I think, is overlooking Attleboro from that rooftop. It's just amazing. You know, I can pretty much tell you I've seen Attleboro almost every which way. I've been down in the basements of some of the buildings and up on the top, and this is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
So we start off with that, and then on Saturday, there's Attleboro Still Rocks. Mm-hmm. And if none of you have heard about this, please, it's down at the Elks, and I think it starts at noontime. But what it is, it's a tribute. And this is very interesting. It's a tribute to all the old bands, I don't want to say old in age, but older bands, if you would, that have been here in Attleboro. Some of the high school bands. Now, I may not know them because, of course, I was from Walpole, but a lot of you will recognize some of these people. I happened to be at an event with Ron Dubuque, who works over at DPW.
Yeah.
And, you know, he mentioned to me that he'd be playing because he was a bass player. And I'm like, you're kidding me. So, you know, there you're going to see people that have worked in this city for a long time that are going to be part of these bands. And it is a tribute to the Bob Colson Band.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a lot of different bands. One of the things that they'll start off with, they will also have a raffle, which I'm doing for them, a nice Skyrock raffle. There you go.
We'll have to play some of that. Bob Colson CD right here. Bob Colson Band CD in our studio.
There you go. You'll have to play some of that. Yeah. So please, if you get an opportunity, please come to Attleboro Still Rocks. Let me tell you what Attleboro Still Rocks does, where the money goes. The money goes to the School of Rock.
Uh-huh.
And what the money does is it is provided for those students that, you know, may not be able to afford an instrument, you know, or may not be able to afford music lessons. You know, most of us, you know, don't have that opportunity. So it does give these young adults the opportunity to learn music. And I think it's just a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
it's a way of giving back.
When they opened up, we had the owner, Dave LaSalle, studio with us. And I've been down there a couple of times, and they do an amazing thing. And some of the students, this is the third annual, they actually usually play the opening act at this event as well.
They do. And, you know, they'll do, they do an opening, and I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there at the opening.
You're gonna be on bongos or something?
I don't play. You know, I'm not the recorder. Everybody did that. But I do enjoy music, and I will be there to open some of the acts, if you would, and talk about some of the acts. So I'm quite honored. I'm very honored to have been asked to do that. So I will be doing that. And then that evening is the POW, which is Prisoner of War, Missing in Action. And then they also do the September 11th remembrance. So there is a steak barbecue that evening. And that starts at 5 p.m. And that is to help raise money for the Prison of War MIA September 11th Remembrance Day, which I know as I was coming in here, you did speak about.
Yep. The following weekend on the 16th.
That's correct. You know, and one of the things I'm going to say right out here is I'm going to give a shout out to John Bouchard. John Bouchard has done an amazing job. And I have to tell you, and hopefully he hears this, when I first came to town and heard about, you know, this POW MIA, I'm like, you know, what's this all about? And, you know, didn't think, you know, wasn't a big fan of splinter groups, if you would. But, you know, he has singularly, if you would, kept alive and educated, again, educated. And so this is where I did change. He educated me. I never, was at never a point that I didn't think POW MIAs were important. But, you know, I thought, you know, if we get these smaller groups and, you know, the veterans groups, everything, I thought, what are all these little splinter groups? But he has done an exceptional job of keeping in our minds that there are still American soldiers or American military people that also are from Massachusetts that never came home, that families that never knew where their loved ones were, ever. And that's such a horrible thing to have to go through. So I think keeping that in our minds and our hearts is very, very important. Right. And we thank John for that.
Yeah, and you know, and not only with that, you'll be part of that. One thing that I do miss about that is the encampment that they did. They did it overnight, you know, for a couple of years, you know, with the huge big black flag that was across the city, you know, right at Gilbert Perry Square. And then now, you know, it's, you still have that sense of oneness as the scouts are there at Newell Shelter. And it's something that if people have not a clue what's going on there, they should come out there. It's only about an hour or so. It starts at 6 o'clock, and as I said, and you'll be part of that as well again.
Yes, and I think that's what's very important is we want to make sure, and John in particular, like I said, has done a great job at this. It's very, very important to still remember the people that didn't come back. I mean, we promised our veterans, if you would, that, you know, no man left behind. And that's where you sort of see this whole thing. I know it's kind of developed into no student left behind, but the original thought was no man left behind, which also means no woman.
True.
But that's the whole idea.
As we kind of start to wrap things up, we still have about 7 minutes left here. First of all, before we get too into it, toward the end of the program, how can people get in touch with you? If they have information, they want information, how can people get in touch with you if they have a question or two?
There's a couple of different ways that you can get in touch with me. And I don't have my little card here.
Okay.
So I apologize for that. But I do have a Facebook, and it's Hall. It should be @. If you put in the @, Hall 4, the number 4, CAL, which is Counselor at Large, that's one way to get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. And then also, if you do Hall 4, the number 4, CAL, @gmail.com, you can also get in touch with me. And in the council office, there are cards for all of us, all of the counselors. So if you want to get in touch with any of the counselors, you can just stop by the council office, and or you could call the council office, and they give you the telephone number for everybody. But those are two ways to get in touch with me. I'm going to tell you, I like the Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
So Hall, the number 4, CAL, for Council at Large, @gmail.com. I like the Gmail because, again, if I get information, I can start my research.
Right.
Whereas if I get a telephone call, I'm sort of writing things down, and I may not know exactly all the details that you've put into it. And you've put a lot of detail and a lot of thought into your question and concern that you want to ask me, and I want to give you the same back. So having something written down that I can sink my teeth in, so to say, is the best way to do it.
And as we know, as I said, the primary is coming up. And just tell our listeners once again when the primary is first. September 6th, 18th, is it? 19th?
Something. I think, yeah. You know, we better check on that.
Yeah.
The 19th?
It's something like that. Yeah, probably the 19th. But September 7th being the election day. And I think...
November 7th?
Yes, is the election day.
It's the election day. Yeah, this is what's confusing to people.
Yeah.
So it is the September 19th. Mm-hmm, I think we've got that solid down on the primary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Because it is kind of confusing. There are two different dates that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So please pay attention to those dates because the primary is specifically just for the mayor. That'll get from the three people that are running down to two people running. And then those two folks will then move on to the next. I know it sounds like a tournament. They will move on to the next election, which is what we all are going to be voted for in, and that's on November 7th, Tuesday, November 7th. So that's the way this will work.
And there are a lot, as you said, you've been working with the city now, and you'll be part of it. I mean, you want to see the people out there. As we get into the last couple of minutes, what are you going to take to the election? And if everything goes well in the re-election, what are you going to be taking to the council as we start 2018 down the line?
Well, hopefully, all my experience. That's one of the things I sort of put on my strength is I do have a lot of experience. And now not just with 30 years of being an administrator, but with my 2 years I've already had on the planning board, my 2 years I've already had on the council, and now I'll be moving in with a lot of experience behind me. I will continue to support the career and technical education program because I think that's huge as you go along with my ideas about alternatives to college. So I'm a huge advocate of having people get careers as a way, to move on. Not everybody has to go to college, so that's one of the things. I will continue to support any small business that I see that comes to Attleboro and help those people the best that I can to get started and give them the right information. So those are the two things that I'm looking at. And I think those primarily are the things that I like to work on, as well as, continue to work with all the other people that I possibly can. But those two things in particular, I think, are two of the things that I've sort of grabbed onto. Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap things up in about 2 minutes or so, I'm going to give you your opportunity now to tell the voters who you are once again and what you're running for and, you know, anything else that you kind of missed in this, in this last hour. Go right ahead.
Got my little card here so I can – there you go. So my name is Julie Hall. And I am running for city council at large. This is my second term, so I'm actually running for re-election. Mm-hmm. I am a former military officer and a veteran. I've had over 30 years of effective fiscal management. I have proven results in government. I'm a member of many organizations here in Attleboro, and I've been on the planning board, as you know. I've been on the city council. One of the things I am dedicated to, because I have delved into the history of Attleboro. There's a great history here in Attleboro in the past. Continues, it really does. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think is I want to be part of creating the new legacy of greatness here in Attleboro. And I think that's what's important to me. We need to have a new definition of what greatness is. Not when the jewelry companies were here. That was a great heyday, but now again.
That I think that's I like the way you said that because it makes you sound a very viable candidate. As you said, you do your homework. You do and you've been doing a very good job of it, as you said. And tonight you're going to continue as counselor tonight, of course. And they start back at 6:30 with some of the committee meetings as well.
Yes, and thank you. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you up front for your vote. Mm-hmm. For anybody that votes for me, and I hope that you will, and I thank you for your vote. I'll say that right now. And please do get out and vote, because if you don't get out and vote, nobody makes it.
Exactly right. Julie, thank you so much,
thank you.
Good luck to you. And we'll be definitely seeing you in the near future.
Thank you.
All right, Julie. Thanks once again.